Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aha! Bob McClain!
Here we go, getting underway with the fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mac Show, the one we lovingly refer to as the bonus hour, because it used to only be a three-hour show at one point. You know what we do in this hour as we do in all the others. Let's talk about it. Just grab the phone, give me a call, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063, or feel free to communicate using the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And you can always zip me an email through cyberspace, Bob, at 1063WORD.com. So here we are, 2 years down the road, some $30 million later. All of the investigative work is complete, and what's it turned up? Nada. Zip. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. The president had said all along, this is a witch hunt. This was a creation of people who had weaponized the instruments of government, our intelligence agencies, the FBI, in an effort to essentially stage a coup to remove the president from office. So now, with Attorney General Bill Barr having today released the redacted full version, 300 and some odd pages, close to 400, of the Mueller report, in a sane world, the progressives on the left would say, I guess we were wrong that they kept accusing Donald Trump of colluding with the Russians, and actually the Mueller report says they didn't do that. No. Now they're quadrupling down. Get this. Establishment media pundits and left-wing political operatives believe that although Special Counsel Robert Mueller declined to prosecute President Trump for Russian collusion or obstruction, his report on the investigation nonetheless invites Democrat lawmakers to impeach the president. God, I hope they do. I wish they would. You know, because when this boomerang comes back around and slaps them upside the head in November of 2020, the DOJ today releasing the long-awaited report by Mueller, which specifies the two-year investigation, excuse me, and details of the team found no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia during the 2016 election. The report in total, I think I said almost 400 pages, actually 448 pages long, and describes in detail how the Russian GRU intelligence unit, GRU is the military intelligence unit in the old Soviet Union and now Russia. KGB, of course, was the political side. Now it's called the FSB. Hacked campaign emails of Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton, the GRU did this, which were subsequently leaked by WikiLeaks. Also specifies there were some contacts between Russia and the Trump campaign. Mueller's report today describes several actions by President Trump, which his critics could interpret as attempts to interfere with the investigation. The incidents did not amount to enough evidence to prosecute, but Mueller refused to say that this lack of evidence amounts to an exoneration. Well, look, either you're indicted or you're not, okay? If you're indicted, then you go to trial. And they try and make their case to prove obstruction. If they don't think they're going to win in the courthouse, they don't charge you. One of two things only happens in one of these investigations. You're indicted or you're not. President Trump was not. However, CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin, another moron who's contributed to the 50% loss of audience in CNN in the last several weeks, Toobin believes the report contains an invitation to Congress to impeach the president. Mueller wrote that, quote, if we had confidence President Trump did not attempt to obstruct justice, we would so state. The report further states the conclusion that Congress may apply the obstruction laws to the president's corrupt exercise of the powers of office accords with our constitutional system of checks and balances and the principle that no person is above the law. Yeah, unless you're Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or, I guess, James Clapper or James Comey. Toobin believes the line, quote, the line is all but an explicit invitation to Congress to impeach the president. And you know CNN is going to start beating this impeachment drum now. Can hardly wait for that. Other media pundits and political operatives, including former Obama strategist David Axelrod and speechwriter Jon Favreau, there's a couple of unbiased people chiming in on this, said the report put the ball in the court of Congress to explore whether impeachment is on the table. Well, that's just going to add fuel to the fire for the Jerry Nadlers and Adam Schiff pencil neck geeks in the House to do exactly that. Number one, do they have the votes in the House to do it? I don't know. They certainly don't have the votes in the Senate to do it. But look, that's not what they care about anyway. They know the president, in all likelihood in the real world, cannot be impeached, but they want to tie his hands between now and the November 2020 election, the same way they have attempted to tie his hands for the first 2 years of his presidency. That's what this is all about, just impediments to try and keep him from implementing his agenda. Juliet Kamen, whoever that is, I never thought much about impeachment, this is on Twitter, viewed it solely as a base issue for political space. Today, Mueller invites us to reconsider impeachment through the lens of politics and instead through the lens of fitness and Trump's loyalty. So consider me accepting the invite. Holy cow. A bunch of other junk on Twitter. This is an impeachment referral. Mueller is saying it wasn't up to him to make a prosecutorial decision and is following Jaworski's example in Watergate. This is not for the AG to decide. It is for Congress. What does Congress have to do with a DOJ investigation? They are separate arms. And a bunch of these other, David Axelrod, the report provides a conundrum for Congress by virtually inviting an impeachment probe around the obstruction issue and more, you know, it goes on in that same vein. I hope they do, you know, because they, along with the loony leftist agenda items from AOC and Mayor Pete and Kamala and Spartacus and the rest of them, the Green New Deal, infanticide for babies, no more airplanes, no more cow flatulence, no borders. Let's eliminate ICE. Let's just let everybody into this country who wants to come in. Let's all vote on that in November of 2020. In on the text line, Bobby, this whole thing is a nightmare. When will these investigations end? Never. This is a short answer. How far can Dems go with this? Far as they want. Bobby, they are wasting time and money to no end. There's no purpose. They seem to want to drag this into next year. Aha! See, now you have arrived in my zip code. That's what it's all about. Continuing to try to tie Trump's hands. What about Hillary and her collusion and crookedness? Oh, no, she's free to go. Nothing to see here. Move along. Hey, Bobby, if Adam Schiff can't turn over his alleged evidence of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign, wouldn't that mean he is then guilty of obstruction of justice? There's a good question. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here. Right back with more as we cruise on through the bonus hour here on Thursday.
entertained? Are you not entertained?
Well, I certainly hope you are. Not only entertained, but informed. Welcome back. 6:22 on the Bobby Mack Show. So all this talk now about impeachment because of these 10 or 12 things, actions that the president took during the course of the investigation that Mueller, in his investigation, thought might have approached the level of obstruction of justice. So in other words, the president is guilty of actions that were not taken. If the president, in anger at some point, suggested, you know, I think I'm going to fire Mueller, and the action was not taken, but he's still guilty of having the thought? That's the point that we're at here now? Now listen to Attorney General Barr today. Barr told reporters he felt the DOJ had to decide whether Trump's conduct was criminal because Mueller did not. In outlining the department's decision, that is the DOJ's decision, not to charge Trump with trying to derail the probe, the Attorney General said officials considered not only whether the acts were obstructive, but also the president's motives behind his actions. Barr said the DOJ considered the unprecedented situation Trump faced entering office and what he called substantial evidence in Mueller's report to show that the president was frustrated and angered by a sincere belief that the probe undermined his presidency. Well, of course it did. That was its intent. Then the Attorney General added, nonetheless, the White House fully cooperated with the special counsel's investigation, providing unfettered access to campaign and White House documents, directing senior aides to testify freely, and asserting no executive privilege claims. And at the same time, the president took no act that in fact deprived the special counsel of the documents and witnesses necessary to complete his investigation. Apart from whether the acts were obstructive, this evidence of non-corrupt motives weighs heavily against any allegation that the president had a corrupt intent to obstruct the investigation. He rested his case. Okay? The president naturally was angry and upset that the progressives, irate at his victory over felonious von Pantsuit in the 2016 election, were intent on doing any and everything, by any means necessary, as they like to say, to destroy his presidency. So, of course, he may have flown off the handle some and said, yeah, you know, I think I ought to fire Mueller. Well, he didn't fire Mueller, and you can't convict somebody of obstruction of justice for something they thought about doing. Except in the old Soviet Union, where apparently Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff live. To the phones we go. Jack is along next. He is in Spartanburg. Hi, Jack, and welcome to the program.
Hello, Bobby Mack. I think the bottom line here, and you've heard this, you've told this before, but everyone should realize, where the heck is the presumption of innocence that all Americans are entitled to by the Constitution?
Maybe we should ask Judge Kavanaugh about that, huh?
Yeah, there's another one. You see what's going on here? Lawyers are starting to invoke their elite primacy over everybody else. They're not even elected, and they're dictating to us what the law should be that they like.
You know, this. You're right. I think you're absolutely right, Jack. And the activism that we see exhibited in the legal field, we also see on a daily basis in journalism. And this goes back to what is taught by the pinheads in the ivory towers of academia. They're now teaching in law school, activist law, activist journalism in the J schools. Your opinion, what you think about the story, matters more than the facts.
And there's one more element to this, too. With these special investigations that are about to ensue,
right,
in order to make impeachment even credible, which it isn't now. But do you know what really happens with all these Democrat lawyers? Who are the biggest contributors to the Democrat Party? So this $40-30 million for the investigations, I think that's underestimated, by the way.
Yes.
you know, a good percentage, probably 25% of that is going to go into the coffers of the Democrat Party for donations.
Yep.
Because these people were highly paid. The lawyers, I mean, on the Mueller's investigation team.
And there's a big story today circulating on the web about all the dark money that is flowing to the left. And we know where that comes from as well, from the Soroses and Tom, what's his name, the wacko other
Steyer.
Lefty. Yeah, Tom Steyer, the other wacko lefty billionaire.
That's right. And these are people who benefited from capitalism and turned left.
Yeah.
To benefit even more.
Well, look at Bernie. You know, he's a perfect example of that. He puts a soft soap sell on socialism, but at the end of the day, all of us are going to be eating beans and weenies, and he's sitting there in his $500,000 home on the lake in Vermont.
and Bobby, I'm under Medicare, okay?
Right.
I bet you are, too, in some respects.
Yes.
And he wants everyone to be under Medicare, so the people who earned it get to wait in lines and get with rations. That's what will happen.
Well, remember.
Now, what I want to know, if he's for equality, why don't we all get the government health plans that he gets?
Yeah, good question. Well, I'm reminded of the words of Winston Churchill, who described socialism as an equal sharing of misery.
He was right.
He was right. Jack, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Good to have you here. In on the text line. Bobby, great. A $25-plus million lie. Thanks for wasting the taxpayers' money and America's time. Bobby, to the Democrats, every hour is the bone us hour. Gotcha. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. When we come back on the other side, Patrick's ready to go in the news center. Another great American representative in Congress, Ilhan Omar, you remember her. She's the one that has been out there with all the anti-Semitic stuff. She's the one, along with AOC, that Nancy Pelosi is having difficulty herding the cats in Congress. You know, there had been talk that Ms. Omar had at one point been married to her brother. And of course, the lefties, oh, that's a horrible, scandalous lie to suggest such a thing. Well, turns out that now there are things that support the claim that she actually married her brother. This is starting to sound like Game of Thrones. Is her real name Lannister? 6:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a break. Patrick's ready to go in the news center, and I'm right back with the last half of the bonus hour. Yep. Spotted it. That deadhead sticker on the back of a Cadillac. 6:36, 24 before 7. That was somewhere out in Arizona. When did that happen to you? 24 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Before we went to the break, I told you about the rabid Ilhan Omar, rabid anti-Semite. You know, she puts out anti-Semitic stuff all the time. And Pelosi and the other Democrats rushed to defend her, claiming that the Muslims are the victims here. Yeah. Well, there's a story today. This is at the Gateway Pundit. Official high school records support claim that Democrat Ilhan Omar married her brother. 10 years ago, February 2009, Democrat Ilhan Omar married her biological brother. And there is a copy here of a marriage certificate containing the particulars. Ms. Omar won a historic victory in 2016 over 44-year incumbent Democrat Representative Phyllis Kahn, K-A-H-N. Ilhan Omar built a vast coalition of East African voters, that would be Somalis, to defeat the incumbent in Minneapolis. The liberal media forgot to mention that Ilhan was married to her brother. Powerline reported, a reader has written us to point out that the Somali website Somali Spot posted information last week suggesting Omar's involvement in marriage and immigration fraud. The posting notes that Omar married Ahmed Hirsi in 2002. Hirsi is the father of Omar's three children. Omar is depicted with Hirsi and their children on Omar's campaign website, and there's a picture of him here. The post further notes that Omar married her brother, Ahmed Nur Saeed Elmi, in 2009, implying that the latter marriage assisted his entry into the United States. Her brother was at the time a British citizen. As soon as Ilhan Omar married him, he started university at her alma mater, North Dakota State University. I'm sure they're proud of her over there, where he graduated in 2012. Doesn't say what his major was. What do you think, Islamic studies? Shortly thereafter, he moved to Minneapolis, where he was living in a public housing complex and was later evicted. Nice. He then returned to the United Kingdom, where he now lives. Omar was elected to be a state representative for District 60B in November of 2016 and took her oath on the Quran. In 2017, several months after Omar's marriage history briefly created a national news item, Omar quietly petitioned family court for a default divorce, claiming she could not locate Mr. Elmi. In October, David Steinberg at PJ Media posted proof that Representative Ilhan Omar did indeed marry her brother back in 2009. Representative Omar has stated that she did marry British citizen Ahmed Nur Saeed Elmi in 2009, though the allegation that he is her brother, she said, is absurd and offensive. Oh, really? Well, according to official student enrollment records archived by St. Paul Public Schools and the state of Minnesota, an Ahmed middle initial N Elmi, E-L-M-I, was enrolled as a senior in the class of 2003 at Arlington Senior High School in St. Paul from September 6, 2002 until June 10, 2003. He graduated and received a diploma. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is under investigation for using her campaign funds when she was a state lawmaker to pay for her divorce. Okay. And you may ask yourself, how could someone like this get elected to Congress? Well, here's how. Ever since gang and tribal warfare in the Horn of Africa and Somalia erupted years ago, and if you've ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, you know what the criminal gangs over there were like. Ever since the unrest in Somalia, the State Department, in their infinite wisdom, has declared that anyone who wants to come to the United States of America from Somalia is a refugee from the violence that exists over there. So, yeah, come right on in. You're a Somali? Great. Come on in. More than what, 10,000, I think? More than 10,000 Somali refugees have decided to settle in that warm, inviting climate of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, meteorologically a long way away from the Horn of Africa. Anyway, Omar rounded them all up as a Muslim. And, oh, we ought to have, we're here in the United States, we ought to have a Muslim representative in Congress. And she got herself elected. Every Somali in her district turned out and voted for her, and so there she is in Congress, taking her oath of office on the Quran. This is a woman who absolutely hates the United States of America. This is a country that opened its arms to her and her family and invited them to enjoy the fruits of freedom and liberty. And what do they do with it? Consistently, on a constant, never-ending basis, talk hatred for America. It's a racist country, all the rest, right? She is a sad example of a Somali refugee, because I'm sure there are many of them in Minneapolis and St. Paul that have welcomed the opportunity to come to this country. Can you imagine to escape the brutality and the violence in their home country of Somalia and come to America? What a wonderful, welcoming opportunity for these people. And I'm sure that there are many who are happy to be here and happy to have escaped what they left behind in Somalia. And yet, here is Ilhan Omar whipping up hatred for the United States and walking the halls of Congress. Oh, and issuing anti-Semitic tweets every time she turns around. She hates Israel, by the way. Hates the Israelis. Is a big proponent of the philosophies that are exhibited by Hezbollah, Hamas. So, you know, we'll see what happens to her. It's going to be interesting to see if enough of a coalition can be put together to defeat her when she comes up for re-election another year and a half or so. Same with AOC in her district in New York. What has she done for the 14th District of New York other than drive away all the Amazon jobs that with her brilliant economic knowledge, she said, well, you know, it's going to be $5 billion there. We can take that and use it for the subways. As if the $5 billion existed without Amazon moving there and creating the jobs that would have come to it. But, you know, she may be a cum laude graduate in econ, but she's an economic imbecile. And she and Omar are the worst examples of people's decisions on who to send to the Congress of the United States. 7:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
Wow, this is awesome.
It's not too shabby. Welcome back. 6:50. 7:10 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Quickly to the phones we go. John is next up. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bobby. This is formal dysfunctional.
Yes.
But anyway, I just wanted to point out, and I just got a simple question.
Yeah.
You were talking about Ilhan, whatever her name is, and
Omar.
All those others up north. Yeah.
Right.
Up in Minnesota and all that stuff.
Right.
If they come here refugee status, don't they still have to meet the requirements to become citizens?
Yes. Yes, they do. And she did. She is an American citizen.
And, but what about her brother?
Very proud of it. No, her, yeah, well, her brother slash husband, brother slash ex-husband. He is now departed for the UK.
Well, I was going to say, that's kind of like those Appalachian weddings up around Kentucky.
Oh, please.
But anyway.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going there. Thank you, John. I appreciate the call. All right, here we go. I got briefly time to squeeze in today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Well, this sounds just about right for our friends in the Great White North in Canada. Now, even the moose there are fighting crime. That's right. Cops in St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, got a call Saturday about a runaway moose running around in the city. I think we have some audio of the runaway moose running around in the city. Yeah, there it is. All right. Thank you. Thank you, moose. Thank you, moose. That's enough. So they started tracking the moose to try to get back into the woods. As they followed it, the moose led the cops straight to a stolen car reported missing the night before. The moose happily eventually made its way back to the woods. No word on whether the cops have caught the car thief yet, but thanks to the moose, they are a little bit closer to cracking this case. I saw this story this afternoon on the web, and I had to pull it out. Where is this from? Ohio? I'm not sure. Anyway, Painesville police have arrested a man whose identity has not yet been released for disturbing the peace. Happened April 16th at the Perkins restaurant. The 49-year-old man was apprehended after he removed an iguana from underneath his shirt and began swinging the reptile by the head and tail over his head. When asked to lower the lizard, the suspect threw the animal at the store manager and fled the restaurant. Drop the iguana, buddy. Don't make me have to shoot. Drop the iguana. The iguana, nicknamed Cooper by the police department, seized by officers, taken to the Humane Society, where hopefully he'll find a better owner than the guy who swung it around. There's a 65-year-old great-grandma in Florida. A guy tried to steal her car on Sunday. Could you say the car thief picked on the wrong great-grandma? You bet you could.
I grabbed my bet. I braced myself. I took that bet and hit him upside a paya. He said, oh! He got a big knot on his head. He was in his drawers. He didn't have no shoes on, no shirt, yep, or nothing. He better be glad I didn't have a gun, because I would have shot him. But this is my gun right here, because I'm going, paya!
You go, girl. Clarice Gainey, Gainesville, great-grandma. She played softball back in high school and keeps the bat handy.
Would that be a Florida woman story?
It would be a Florida woman story. Will we ever forget great-grandma and her bat?
Bye-ya!
That's right. Car salesman in Tennessee offered to give a ride home to a client earlier this month, then kidnapped him, forced him to take out $200,000 from the bank, and made him smoke crack. The FBI just tracked down the salesman. By this time, he'd gone from Tennessee to Texas. He's facing kidnapping and robbery charges. FBI tracked him down over the weekend. Cedar Hill, Texas is where they caught up with a guy. Kidnapping, bank robbery, extortion, and all the usual stuff. Jeez. Can we have one or two more? Yeah, I think we did have a couple of more boneheads in here. Guy in Florida, since we just had the Florida woman story, it's time for Florida man story. Man in Florida get into a high-speed chase in his Ferrari on Saturday. He was doing over 100. When the cops stopped him, finally caught up to him, he told them, I wasn't running from you. I was just speeding because, well, this Ferrari goes really fast. Uh-huh. His female passenger told the cops, yeah, he was trying to outrun you. Arrested. You know, when something breaks, the most common DIY strategy for millennials is to call their dad. Yeah. That's what the study says. 45% of them say that's their first move. 35% of millennials will actually try to fix something themselves. 20% will call a professional to get the job done.
And everyone that lives in the South, the first thing they do is duct tape.
That's right. Million and one uses. There you go. There is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Got to wrap things up for this evening. I'll be gone tomorrow. Jimbo will be in for me, and I will see you back on Monday. Happy Easter.
That's all, folks.
That's our show. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye. Say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long. Farewell. Our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you. Broadcast day.
Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.